It's far easier to add to a resume than to stand exposed before a mirror. To open our eyes and take a good long look at ourselves, to look at who we really are, can indeed be an overwhelming and somber thing. In many ways, we are trained by influences all around us, not to mention those internal influences, to buy something, to follow some expert, to join some program, or do just about anything to avoid our truest selves. But it would do us well to come to the place that when we see ourselves honestly, we embrace and claim the truth we see, just as we are, that by God's grace, God draws us to God's divine side to be made lovable and worthy. God's saving grace through Jesus Christ makes us truly good enough. Growing up in Shady Spring, I think every worship service ended with this song. I have no idea how many times I've sung this song. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. Just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. Embrace and claim that just as you are, by God's grace, you and I are made lovable and worthy and good enough. In today's reading from 1 Corinthians 15, Paul speaks of himself as unfit to be an apostle. Unfit literally means not good enough. If we were to take a moment to remember some of the other stories from the Bible, we might well respond to Paul's criticism of himself with, "You think you're unfit? Take a number, Paul, get in line." From Genesis on, we hear about some of the people of God called and their personal internal conflicts that caused them to argue that they were unfit. Abraham and Sarah said they were just too old. Jeremiah said he was too young. Moses said he wasn't a good public speaker. And Isaiah went straight to the heart of it all when he said, when in the temple and facing the divine presence, groaned out the words, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a person of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. I'm lost, I'm not worthy, I'm to this, I'm to that, I'm unfit, I'm unfit, I'm just not good enough." Paul actually had a pretty muddy past. that would cause him to say that he was unfit. After all, for years, he arrogantly convinced himself that he was not only good enough, but that he was better than others. Because he was right. He was right, he thought. And those who disagreed with him were wrong, and they deserved to be treated with, and he deserved to be treated with respect. They could be treated with disrespect and even hatred. Paul had effected some real damage in the lives of others and left a lot of pain and injury and hurt people in his wake. Oh, the many others who have followed in Saul's footsteps. Even today, with all the hurtful words in our atmosphere, when someone is convinced that they're right, sometimes that presents people with feelings of superiority over those, well, who think differently. And so the question becomes for all of us. Did you ever consider that you might be wrong? That's one of the first steps toward wisdom, and that's one of the first steps towards intellectual humility. It's true. Paul had an arrogance problem. He had an ego problem. But make no mistake, arrogance is a mask that keeps others and even us from seeing ourselves as we truly are. Now, it seems easy for Paul to replace his arrogance and self-righteousness with the opposite, a kind of excessive self-imposed humiliation and a sense of guilt and unworthiness. But C.S. Lewis noted, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Yes, that's the key that Paul, the unfit apostle, had discovered. The key that opened up a new and abundant life for him. And he summed it up in just 10 words. By the grace of God, I am what I am. What a statement of faith placed here in a passage about resurrection, about new hope and new life, all made possible by the infinite grace of God, the one who knows us behind closed doors and behind our masks and still loves us the most. Despite being put down by those who hid behind masks and holier-than-thou resumes, and despite his self-doubt, Paul gripped a deeper truth. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And clinging to God's grace, he pressed on. He kept going, accepting God's love, refusing to be held captive by a sense of unworthiness and unfitness. He pressed on. Paul, the unfit apostle, refused to walk backwards in his life, refused to return to former thoughts in his former ego and life of arrogance. There's a story of a bishop who regularly visited the congregations under her charge. And before each question and answer session, she would share a meditation on the baptism of Jesus. And then, closing with that wonderful promise, "You are my beloved child with whom I am well pleased." God's words to Jesus at his baptism, the bishop said, are words that are true for each one of us now. And then the bishop would go on to do something very interesting, reminding the folks of the two creation accounts in Genesis. She said that we can choose to focus almost only on the second creation story, the tale of Adam and Eve's sin and guilt and expulsion from paradise, or we can focus our starting point on Genesis chapter 1, when God creates all that is, affirming that it is good. And when God created humans, God declared that God's creations of humans was very good. And the bishop would then go on to lead the groups in a time of silent personal reflection on these things. And then during the question and answer time, many people would express their deep thanks, and even some shed tears as they described the grace they felt to be affirmed that they are beloved of God. But the most fascinating thing, and at the same time, the sad thing, was the occasional person who, for whatever reason, could not or would not accept that reality. Could or would only see the guilt and sin and miss their belovedness. We heard it last week that nothing can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. For all who follow Jesus and claim a resurrection faith, for all who believe that God creates, redeems, and makes us a new creation, how can we dare not love ourselves? Well, it's not always easy. Those voices around us and within us, judgmental voices, abrasive voices that continuously bully us into seeing ourselves as ugly or shameful, unfit or just not good enough, those voices can be overwhelming. Those voices can steal all your joy and your enthusiasm and your peace. But there's the voice that declares every life has immense value and every life is full of spiritual worth. You are my beloved child. That includes my life. And that includes your life. Like Paul, you and I can make a conscious, intentional choice to turn away from those awful voices that can bring us down and turn to the voice that claims us as a beloved daughter, a beloved son. We can choose to hang on to the resurrection life and power working in us, which is stronger than all the forces of hell and death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am life. Those who believe in me shall live. I died and I'm alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of hell and death. Because I live, you shall live also. We can claim that remarkable grace of God doing its work in us that Paul assures us has not been in vain. Bishop Michael Curry often closes his messages by reminding his listeners to love God, love your neighbor, and while you're at it, love yourself as well. Yes, each one of us can dare to take a sincere look in the mirror and recognize that the person looking back at us with all the baggage we'd rather hide or deny is still and forever a beloved child of God. Jesus comes not for the super spiritual, but for the wobbly and weak-kneed who know they don't have it all together and who are not too proud to accept the handout of amazing grace. As you receive the elements today of Holy Communion, claim that by the grace of God, you are what you are, beloved. And that is more. That is more than good enough. Amen.